This is Here and Now. You've heard the story of David and Goliath. The shepherd boy David takes up the challenge to fight the giant Goliath, but David is at a huge disadvantage. He's much smaller compared to Goliath. He doesn't have his weapons and his armor. How could he win? Well, in the end, David defeats the giant Goliath in combat using a slingshot. The underdog boy wins an improbable victory over the warrior giant. Well, Malcolm Gladwell thinks that David's victory was not improbable at all. In his new book, David and Goliath, Underdogs, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants, Gladwell argues that our assumptions about power and advantage need to change. He joins us from the studios of WBEZ in Chicago. Malcolm Gladwell, welcome.
I'm happy to be on the show.
Well, let's talk about your book. There's been some criticism, and I'm sure you've seen it. I want to get to that. But I first want to just ask you what you were trying to say with this book.
I was trying to ask the question about whether we have a good understanding of what an advantage is. And the sort of argument of the book is that lots of things that look like advantages aren't, and lots of things that look like disadvantages may have more than silver linings, they may have all kinds of positively unintended consequences.
Do you think people don't understand that?
Well, I think it's always, I think we do make mistakes. So for example, a big chunk of the book is about, there's a chapter that's about crime and about what happened in California with three strikes. And there was a case where I think a misunderstanding about the nature of power led to a really grievous public policy that after 20 years of three strikes last year, the state of California finally said enough and recognized its mistake. And then I talk about the British experience in Northern Ireland, where I think they made a similar kind of error. So I do think that we make these kinds of mistakes, even though we may understand the idea in theory. When it comes to the specifics of figuring out how to act in certain situations, I do think sometimes it's worth taking a step back and re-examining some of these questions.
The error that you're talking about here is sometimes that authorities think that by using their force, they will get the outcome they want, when in fact, sometimes by not using their force, they might get a better outcome.
Yeah, so that half of the book is about Davids, about underdogs who are more powerful than they seem. And the other half of the book is about Goliaths, about powerful people who are not as powerful as they seem. And so the chapter, the California example, is on the Goliath side of the ledger, that there was a perception in the state of California that by enlisting the full authority of the state, they could make a sizable headway against their crime problem. And that assumption proved to be misguided and had actually quite tragic consequences for the state, they now realize. So the idea was the thing you think is your greatest asset, your ability to, the fact that you can pass laws doubling the amount of prison time a criminal will face, or the fact you can build prisons and lock people up, is actually not nearly as useful a way of combating crime as you think. And I contrast that with far more successful strategies that were used in New York City, which didn't involve the state flexing its muscles.
You also talk about perceived disadvantages, and you talk about David Boies, the famous lawyer who has dyslexia, which would be, I guess, perceived as a disadvantage, but in fact makes him much stronger because he becomes a better listener. You talk about students who go to Harvard and think that that is a big advantage for their future employment, but in fact maybe they are, if they're not at the very top of their class, worse off than students who go to schools a little lower down the list. I wonder, Malcolm Gladwell, what you make of the criticism that your examples are just as cherry-picked as the ones that you're arguing against.
Yeah, I hear that from time to time. The problem with that argument is that rarely do people give me an example of evidence I'm supposed to have cherry-picked. You know, when you make an argument, we evaluate the evidence and then we choose the evidence we feel is the most significant. And that's what I'm doing in my books. And there are people who make arguments that maybe I've chosen the wrong evidence. That's fine. I don't think that. But I don't think I should be singled out as the only person in the world who selects from a lot of different arguments the ones that he finds most persuasive. I think that's what human beings do, isn't it?
We're speaking with Malcolm Gladwell, author of David and Goliath, Underdogs, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants. And you're listening to Here and Now. And Malcolm Gladwell, do you believe that people who have lived through difficult experiences are better at dealing with challenges than people who have not?
Yeah, so that's a big theme of the book. And one of the things I try to figure out in the book or look at is that an adverse experience can have a profoundly different effect on those who suffer through it. For example, I have a whole chapter about what does it mean to lose a parent in childhood. Clearly, a significant number of people who suffer through that kind of loss, which is about the worst kind of loss a human being can face, are scarred or at least affected by it for the rest of their lives. But there also is this weird phenomenon that if you look at, I cite these two really interesting observations that have been made about British prime ministers and American presidents. The number of prime ministers and presidents who have lost a parent in childhood is hugely disproportionate. And what I try to do in the book is figure out what separates those who find strength in adversity from those who don't.
As I was reading this book, of course, given what's going on in the world right now, my mind kept turning to Washington, and I thought of the people of the United States as the little guy trying to overcome some of the realities of politics in this country. I wonder how you would apply what you have written about to the challenges that the nation is facing right now.
Oh, wow. Well, I always, whenever I'm asked questions about American politics, I always bring up the fact that I'm Canadian. And so that's my excuse for not being able to. But I guess I would say, you know, there's a couple of chapters in the book are concerned with insurgents' tactics. So what are the kinds of things that people who do not have access to legitimate authority do to fight battles? And obviously what they do is they do what David did in the original battle with Goliath. They break the rules, right? The first thing that David did was to violate the conventions of single combat. It was supposed to be a sword fight, and he brought along a sling, which was a far superior weapon, and broke the rules. When people lack access to legitimate authority, they do things that are often disagreeable, socially outrageous. Sort of what's happening in Washington, right, with the Republicans, that without access, this very small group of politically conservative legislators without access to the traditional means of power are engaging in insurgents' tactics. Sometimes that's a good thing. I would leave it to others to figure out whether this is one of those cases.
Let me ask you about one piece of criticism. There's a big piece about the book in the New York Times by Joe Nocera, who ends with, maybe what David and Goliath really illustrates is that it's time for Malcolm Gladwell to find a new shtick. What is it like to get that kind of criticism, and how do you respond?
Well, you know, a review is an election with one voter. So I don't let it bother me. I mean, my books have always gotten a wide range of reviews. I have plenty of people who like the books that I write, and so I don't. I know Joe and have enormous respect for him, and I'm perfectly happy to have him express his opinion.
How do you respond to what he says?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny. I don't take any of that particularly seriously or personally. I mean, maybe he should stop reading my books. So he's not so annoyed next time. I write my books because I'm interested in things and there are questions I want to explore. And if some people are willing to go along for the ride and some others don't, and it's a free country.
Malcolm Gladwell is author of David and Goliath, Underdogs, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants. Malcolm Gladwell, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art, Boston, with a new performance season. Miranda July, Carol Armitage, and Bill T. Jones. More at icaboston.org.